We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence, Lord. I thank you that we live in this country that we live in. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have given us so many things. And I pray, Father, that people in the United States would repent, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would come to you with our whole heart, Lord, that we would be filled to overflowing with your goodness and your grace and your love, and Lord, that there would be a change because we are people that are sold out for you. And so, Father, we pray for this election. We know that the person that you want to be in there is going to be in there. We know, Lord, that you are in complete control. We refuse to start worrying about tomorrow and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and all of that, Lord. You're in charge. So I thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would just give me your words. Let me speak your words and your words alone, Lord. And at the end of the day, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have the New Living Testament with the Warren Wiersbe notes in it? Is that just not the most fabulous study book? I love that book. If you ever get a chance to get it, it's about this thick, so it's not one that you carry around with you. It's one that you kind of use for studying, although Bethany has hers in the front row every time we get together on Tuesdays. But it's the New Living Testament with the Warren Wiersbe notes in it. And so this is what Warren Wiersbe had to say about our portion of text. I took it straight from that Bible because I couldn't say it in a better word. It sums up all that this portion of text is, verses 97 through 112. Never have there been so many tools available for serious Bible study, and we're grateful for them. However, the Word of God is unlike any other book. We must be on good terms with the author if we are to learn from what he's written. Our relationship to the Lord is determined by our relationship to his will, and that is determined by how we relate to his Word. Too many believers have only academic head knowledge of the Word, but they do not know how to put this knowledge into practice in the decisions of daily life. What we all need is heart knowledge of the Word, and that means being taught by God. Is there a better way to sum up the portions of text that we have today? That's exactly what we're going to talk about, but he put in one little paragraph. We're going to probably talk for about 30 minutes on it. So verse 97, oh, how I love your law. Again, in the New Living Testament, it says, oh, how I love your instructions. I love your instructions. Do you love the instructions of God? There are many of us who do not love someone to instruct us. We don't want somebody else telling us what to do. Because I have it together. God, I don't know if you noticed, I've been through a lot, and I know how to handle this. We don't want to be instructed, but we would never consciously do that, would we? We would never say that to the Lord, would we? But sometimes my heart does say that. I got it. I can do this. But oh, how I love your instructions, O Lord. How I love your instructions. It is my meditation all the day. The true believer loves God's word. The true believer loves God's instructions. We live God's words as if we couldn't live without it. Now, Kay Smith says a prayer for her is something that she cannot live without. And I would say, along with that, God's word is what we cannot live without. I cannot live without prayer, and I cannot live without the word of God. To some, it may be just that outward appearance of loving God, but a true child of God finds God's word to be our food, our medicine, our light, our comfort, our very life. And I can't live life without the word of God. I can't live life without hearing from God and hearing what he has for me. What is it that we love? Why is it that we love God's law? Because it shows that we are not what we used to be. And I thank God I am not what I used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature and creation, and I am so new, because God changed me. The whole word, the whole law is light. It is love. It is wisdom. It is faithfulness. Psalm 1:2 says, my meditation is on your law all the day. Is my meditation on God's law all the day? Or is that other thing that keeps coming up in my mind when I'm not thinking about, when I'm not busy doing something, there's that one thing that comes to my mind all the time. And what I want that one thing to be, my meditation in the Word of God. It's not at every moment of my life, but that's what I'm aiming for. And that's what we need to be aiming for, making Him our meditation all the day. So we meditate in His Word, and this should be true of us when it's not in our hands. When this Word is not in our hands, it should be hidden in our heart. That's why we're memorizing, that we would hide God's Word in our heart. Why? So that we won't sin against Him. And we're going to talk about that sin as we get in a little bit farther. This habit of love for God's Word and meditation on it all the day will influence my whole character. It will influence who I am. It will give me even more love for God's Word. If I am in God's Word, you know, sometimes I read and I'm just reading. Does that happen to anybody else? You're reading and you're going, yeah, okay, and then I don't understand anything. So I go back and read it again and again. But when I do that and I go back and I study that portion of Scripture, it changes me and it gives me an appetite for the Word of God. It makes me want to have more of it. And so in verses 98 through 100, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Yes, you do, for they are ever with me. Those enemies are ever with me, and so are your commandments. Your commandments are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers for your testimonies. Why do I have better understanding? For your testimonies are my meditation. I have an answer for these things. I understand more than the ancients. Why? Because I keep your precepts. That is why. This knowledge through his meditation and his love for the word of God made David wiser than his enemies in his subtlety. In his subtlety. You remember when they were chasing him. How he would slip in and out, and he would be in places, and then he would not be in places because the Lord was taking over. He had a subtle appearance about him when he was there. He is wiser than all of his teachers in his doctrine. Why? Because his testimonies are my meditation. I know what I'm talking about, David would say. He is wiser than the ancients in experience. Why? Because I have experienced keeping your precepts. That's how it all works. Note that it's through God's commandments that we are made wiser. It doesn't have anything to do with our natural. It is supernatural that we are made wiser because of our meditation on God's word. To be effectively taught of God, we must be daily taught by God. Daily taught by God. We rest in him. We seek his counsel in his word. And 2 Timothy 3:15, it is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith. It makes us wise unto salvation through faith. Our prayer is for what? It is for humility. And my prayer is for simplicity of faith. If you've known me more than 5 minutes, you know that I'm basically simple. And I love that it is this simplicity of faith. I love the simplicity of the gospel. And that's why women's ministry was given that word at the beginning of the year. So our luncheon was simplicity. Our retreat was live simply, live purely. And now our Christmas luncheon is simply unique. Simply unique, and it's going to be on John 3:16, and our design is going to be our all of our decorations that we're going to do are all snowflakes, because every snowflake is unique, just like us, just like, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten unique son for us, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. It was that unique son that gave his life for us. And so I want that prayer for humility of mind. I don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought to. And I want to be just simple in my faith. I don't want to complicate things. So many times we just want to complicate things, don't we? Anybody else, or is it just me? I won't ask you to raise your hand because I'm not into Bill's little exercises. But we complicate things, and we don't need to do that. That we would be perfect, Isaiah 35:8, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:17. Seeking our wisdom from the Word of God gives us the best counselor ever, who is the teacher. He teaches us what to do and what to expect. What to do and what to expect. That's what he teaches us. But our obedience as well as meditation directs our way. Oh, that word, where did that come from? That obedience. We must move in the things that God tells us to do. We must move when he tells us to move. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I consumed them. I ate them. My daughter Bethany, when she was very little, she consumed my Bible. She ate the very pages of my Bible. She ate the Word of God. And that's not what we're talking about here, though, is it? But we need to consume that Word of God. So I ate them, and your Word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Now, all of the things that have been happening the last few days just have been a real, hard. It's been hard. So, but you know what? When I came in here this morning, and then again tonight, as I was beginning, I was standing back there watching you guys praising the Lord, and I just rejoiced in my heart. I have that joy unspeakable and full of glory because God gave it to me, because our meditation is on the Lord. He gives us that joy when we consume that word, when we eat it and let it sink in and just digest. Psalm 63:5-6, my soul will be satisfied and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches. In the night watches, that's when I am meditating on him. When I'm up, for whatever reason I'm up. I don't know how many of you get a full night's sleep. I don't. And I know there's a bunch of you in here who don't get a full night's sleep. You're up for whatever reason. And my prayer is that when I'm up, that his praise ever should be on my lips. That I would meditate on him, that he's the first one that I think of. Instead of that person that has been annoying me, or that person that has been this or that or the other thing, I want to meditate on the Word of God. I want to marinate in it. I want to be tender and more flavorful to the world. I want the world to see that's what Jesus is like. I want to marinate in his Word. And so verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have restrained my feet. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. David's wisdom was practical. It taught him to keep God's word. To be able to do this, we would have to refrain our feet from evil ways. It is important that we get this. It's important that we pay attention to this, because we can easily be drawn away easily be torn away from the Word of God and from that peace that He offers. And here are some steps that we need to take so that we don't, so that we refrain our feet from every evil way. First of all, Romans 7:9, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. All appearance. We need to really make sure of that. In Jude 23, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh, when he was talking about snatching someone else out of the fire, hating even the garment that was defiled by the flesh. And in Psalm 139, 24, asking God to search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Again, that was Psalm 139, 24. And then 2 Corinthians 7:9, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, what aren't my sins cleansed by God? Yes, they are, but I need to take steps to cleanse myself daily to make sure that I have repented, that I am right before God. In order to keep the Word of God, there must be that separation from sin. We can't do it on our own power, but we have God's power of grace gives us all we need to stand against the sin that so easily besets us. And so we move on from there. We have the great privilege of keeping God's word. Is that not just the coolest phrase? We have the great privilege, not just because I said it, but we have the great privilege of keeping God's word. That's a privilege that we have, to keep God's word. Sin is slavery. Don't be fooled. Sin is slavery. And so seek to abide with a constant view of Calvary, because sin will live everywhere but at the foot of the cross. Sin will live everywhere but at the foot of the cross. So looking to Jesus, may I have that light and that grace. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. The teaching from above is the light of life, John 5:12. It is the light of life. It gives us the principles to make use of that light. It gives us those kind of instruction. It makes us want to learn more, and it gives us the grace, again, to obey. The grace to obey. I need grace when it comes to obedience. I need someone to push me along into obedience, because I love going my own way. I'm sorry, I have to admit that to you, because I know that you all think that I am 100% perfect. But the honest truth is, I have trouble obeying sometimes, and I need to really trust in God. Trusting in man is the departing of my heart from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. Trusting in man is the departing of my heart from the Lord. I will never give up sin simply by the influence of human persuasion. I'll never give it up by somebody telling me that I ought to give it up. One of the neat things about the girl who led me to the Lord, she never once said, "Joy, you really ought not to be doing the things that you're doing." She just simply loved me and she prayed for me. Now, there's nothing wrong with confronting things in people's lives if God's telling you to do it. But I would never have come to Christ if she had constantly been telling me, "Oh, you are a mess." I knew I was a mess, but I was happy to be that mess until I found out that I could live in Christ and be set free from all of that. But I will not depart from the Lord as long as I have in my heart that He is my teacher. He is my teacher. He teaches me, and we are drawn to Him. John 6:45, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father, what do they do? Comes to me. Everyone who has learned and heard from the Father comes to me, John 6:45, and is teaching will abide in me. It will take its residence in me. It will live in me, 1 John 2:24. But there are areas that will cause us not to abide. Areas that will cause us not to abide. What are those areas? The number one area is neglecting private prayer. Neglecting private prayer is one of the main causes that will cause me not to abide in His Word and in His presence. Neglecting that private prayer. We come to church and we all pray together. We call somebody up and we pray with them about our need. But God wants us to come just to Him first. Have you ever had a problem that was going on in your life and you went, I should call, and you can't come up with a name of somebody to call. You can't come up with, I can't talk to her about that. I can't talk to her about that. So, and you find out God says, I want some private time. We need some private time on this. And so neglecting private prayer. And secondly, no appetite for the sincere word. No appetite for the sincere word will cause us not to abide. And then because we have neglected prayer and we have no appetite for the sincere word, we begin to relax our diligence. Relax our diligence. We're just not trying quite as hard. And then when we neglect our private prayer and we have no appetite for the sincere word and we relax our diligence, we have a loss of a savor for godliness. A loss of a savor for godliness. Those all go in together. Are you willing to allow Him to use His correction on you to keep you from departing from His judgments? I want to say yes every single time. And sometimes I don't get it in time. But I will say yes every single time that He brings me to it. Restrain my feet, Lord, from perpetual backsliding. From that perpetual backsliding. Bridges says, neither grace received, nor experience attained, nor engagements regarded will secure me for one moment without continual teaching from the Lord. Not for one moment without that continual teaching from the Lord. And verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love, love, love this particular verse. And you know, I told you about the bees that we had in our house, right? That we had them up in our eaves and they took them out and they gave us the honeycomb. And I got to tell you, that honey is so good. It has a buttery taste. I can't explain it, but it is so good. It is so sweet. I love having it and being able to share it with other people, but it's almost gone. But Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you taste, you will see that the Lord is good. Don't hold back. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. How sad it is for those who have heard, who read, who even understood the word, and yet they still never tasted of its sweetness. A legalist has never tasted of the sweetness of the Word of God, the sweetness of His Word. 1 Peter 2:2-3, if so be we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow by it. The Word gives to us peace. It gives to us holiness. It gives to us joy. It gives to us support. It gives to us rest far beyond what man is able to give to us. Far beyond it. As you become more spiritually healthy, the word will be increasingly sweet to our taste. Now, you guys know that I lost some weight. I found a considerable amount of it now, but I did lose it. And when I was losing it, I of course, couldn't have any sugar at all. And it came in a very short time that my taste buds changed. And I could taste the sweetness in a dragon fruit. You know what the dragon fruit is? That little white stuff. And I don't like it. I don't like the texture of it. But I tasted it for my husband's sake because he loves it. And I'm a good wife sometimes. But I tasted it and I go, oh, that's sweet. I taste that sweetness. And he couldn't taste that sweetness. But you see, because I did away with the counterfeit sugar, and I got the sweetness of the fruit. That's what we need to do. Get rid of that counterfeit and have the sweetness of the Lord in our life. All right? And so 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every evil way. In Hebrews 6:1, having learned the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we shall go on to perfection. 2 Peter 3:18, this is the perfection, growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We're going to keep going. Getting understanding through his precepts, we learn to walk in a better way, straight up. Abiding in the light is the kind of walk that joy unspeakable springs out of us. Sin looks like a treasure, but it proves to be glittering trash. Sin looks like a treasure, but it proves to be glittering trash. It only leaves us to the pain of disappointed hope. Have you ever had the pain of disappointed hope? I think we all have. That pain of disappointed hope. Looking back over my life as I was just recently, the life that I lived before I was a Christian, it's shameful. It's shameful to look upon the life that I lived at that time. But I don't ever want to go back there again. Not ever again. By the grace of God, I shall resist to the end, Hebrews 12:4. I don't want to simply restrain my sin. I want it to be mortified. I want to be done with it. I want to be done with that sin. I don't want to leave that sin for now. When I was losing the weight, I would tell myself, I can't have that food today. But now I knew in my heart, I knew in my mind, I can never have the sugar again. And I really can't because it really messes me up. I knew that I could never have it again. But I had to convince myself that today, just today, I can't have it. But I don't want to do that with sin and say just today. I want to mortify it. I want it to be gone, completely gone. I want that old sin to be like Paul as he shook that snake off of him in Acts 28:5. He just, get off me. You know, I used to hitchhike long time ago. Yes, I did. You're laughing at me. A long time ago, I hitchhiked and I had this guy who decided he was not going to let me leave his car. And I don't know what came over me, but I think it must have been God, even though I wasn't a Christian. It made me so mad that this guy thought he had charge over me and he was not going to let me out of his car. Are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? He grabbed hold of my arm and I looked at him, get your hands off of me. And he kind of was like, no, stay. And I am not kidding with you. I am not playing with you. You get your hand off me now. And he let me go. I got out of the car, slammed the door, and went, get out of here. And that's exactly what I want to do with the sin in my life. I want to slam the door on it, and I want it out of here. I do not want to play with that sin anymore because it'll do exactly what that guy wanted to do. He wanted to keep me in that place. And sin will keep you longer than you planned on staying. Cost you more than you were willing to pay. When you get something in your eye, you get a little tiny itsy-bitsy thing in your eye. Doesn't it annoy you? And you keep trying to get it out because you can't see clearly with it in there, and it hurts, and it keeps hurting, but you get rid of it. You either cry it out, or you wash it out, or someone has to take it out for you. In the same way, may my conscience be that sensitive of the slightest touch of sin in my life. I want to be that kind of sensitive. I want my conscience to be that kind of sensitive, to hate every false way so as to flee from it, to leave it, to get away. And I pray that the Lord would turn my eyes, my heart, my feet, my ways more and more to himself, and that the sin may be the daily matter of my watchfulness, my grief, my resistance, and my crucifixion. I want to be done with sin in my life. And I know you do too. 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That word that is a lamp unto my feet, and you know the story. You know that it was a lamp that just held, just let you see just what was in front of you, not a long way down there. But the important thing in that lamp is that the light's on. It's important that the light be on in that lamp. Except that lamp be lighted, except the teaching of the Spirit accompany the word, all is darkness, and it is a thicker darkness than we would ever imagine. If we paid more attention to receiving and wanting to improve the light, we wouldn't be complaining about the darkness in our life. If we spent more time and attention to receiving and wanting to improve the light by meditating on the word of God, we wouldn't have to worry about that darkness. And you know this, the car with the headlights that you can only see as far as the headlights go. You know that those headlights are not going to let you down. You can see that far, and you go your whole trip just as far as you can see. But in Joshua 1:5, God says, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Oh, that I would be able to make use of this lamp to direct my every step. And so we move along very quickly here. Verse 106, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. The blessings of the guidance of the Lord's word naturally strengthens our resolution to walk his path. The blessing of the guidance of the Lord's word naturally strengthens us to stay on the path. There shall be but one will between me and God, and that will shall be his and not mine. That will shall be his and not mine, because mine just stinks and it's never right. Oh, that I may be, 2 Timothy 2:21, oh, that I may be a vessel fit for the master's use. And in 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. There are a few things. We talked about affliction already last week, but there are just three things that I want to say about this. The stones of the spiritual temple can't be polished or put into place without the hammer and chisel. The gold cannot be purified without the furnace. And the vine has to be pruned for greater fruitfulness. These things have to be in our lives. But remember that it's not for God's pleasure. It is for our profit that we go through these things. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. And even in Genesis 41, 52, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. In the midst of my affliction, I become fruitful. Nothing will bear looking back to with comfort like those trials. I look back into those trials and I see how hard it was. Yes, it was hard and I hated that it was hard, but look at the person that I've become because of what I've been through, and look at how I love the Lord because I see that he's drawn me out of it, that he has strengthened me and brought me back. And verse 108, accept, I pray, your free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. No offering but a free will offering is accepted. That was in the Old Testament in Numbers 29, in the New Testament, in the Gospel, Romans 12, 1, and 2 Corinthians 5, 14. What is a free will offering? A free will offering is the overflowings of a heart filled with love. The overflowings of a heart filled with love. And that the Lord would teach me his judgments. Verse 109, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. When our life is constantly in danger, there's that thing in us that makes us want to panic and not trust God. And we want to try to work it out and make it happen, but we can trust him. In Acts 20, 23, 24, Paul got the witness of the Holy Spirit that wherever he went, the Holy Spirit said, when you go there, you are going to be put into prison, you are going to be bound. And he said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me, but I am not willing only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ. Daniel, in chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel continued to kneel on his knees. 3 times a day he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as he had done before the edict had been put out. He continued to pray just as he had before. And because he continued to do what he used to do, he was in the lion's den. But he was in the lion's den because he felt the lions were far less fearful in his eyes than one step off the path with God. Do we look at sin that way? Do we look at sin that way? Those who are instructed in the word are not ignorant of what Satan's doing. The Lord lets us know. Verse 111, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Precious, precious Bible. What a treasure what we have here. This book is precious to me. I know yours is precious to you as well. This book contains our heritage. What is our heritage? It is our birthright that God has in here. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25, when all earthly heritage shall have passed away, mine endures forever. This heritage is precious. We are heirs of promise, and Pastor Bill talked on Sunday about the being joint heirs with Christ. It's when we think about, when there's been a funeral, when someone dies and we have to divide up the stuff. And you know, you get the dresser, and you get the bed, and you get the chair over there. But God says, you get the dresser and the chair and the bed. All of you get all of this. Everything that's mine is yours, Jesus says. We are joint heirs with Christ. In Hebrews 6:17 and 18, the New Living Testament again, explaining this heritage, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This heritage has an enduring character. It is forever. This life is just glittery, and it has nothing but emptiness. Let's remember that this heritage is our light, our comfort, our peace, our strength, and draw close to the Lord. And so in verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I have inclined my heart, not my eye, not my ear, not my tongue, but with my heart, because Proverbs 4:23 says, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. God looks on the heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end of my life. We are renewed. The Lord has renewed our strength. When we wait upon the Lord, he gives us new strength. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 11:31, God himself is our strength. It's God's power that supports us from the first step in our course, and he has pledged to every successive step of difficulty. He is faithful, that has promised, Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is faithful. And we are confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, and then we close. We are confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is able to perform it. He who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hang on, because ladies, we are going for a ride. And God's in control. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, for your grace, for your love for us. And, Father, I pray that these things that we've heard today, things that just that you've put on our heart, Lord, that it would change us, that it would mold us into your likeness, Lord, that we would have that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we would be filled to overflowing with your goodness and your grace, Lord, that we would have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep our hearts and our minds in you, Christ Jesus. Father, that we would have the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord Jesus, we want to seek you in every single decision that we make. It doesn't matter what it is. We want to seek you in every single decision that we make. Lord, would you keep us from being deceived? Keep us from people that would want to deceive, Lord. And I pray that you would deliver the deceivers, Lord. Deliver them from that life to deceive other people. And use us, Lord, for your kingdom's growth. That at the end of the day, Lord, you get all the glory. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.